I've been studying a book by G.H. Kimber, Earth's Early Stages. And he goes into this. This book was written in the 1870s. But you would think he was talking about today. But then, back in that period of time, is when this New Age business came, Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, Unitarian Universalist, Garner Ted Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormonism. All of this was just beginning to go out. And it's all based upon reincarnation, the worship of nature, and it is really, and it still is here today. It was so, Unitarianism was so strong in this church a few years ago, the influence of it, and it is still here to some extent, that Roger preached a series of messages, Truth Matters. And then he went and he gave out different little flyers and handouts asking what you believed about God and about hell and all of this, because this really, it's really important in your Christian faith, especially if you're a representative of Valley Baptist Church. And I heard that there was a great big write-up in the paper about us this last week or something or other. It was a big deal. My mother's telling me that it told when the church started and everything. One of my real good fathers in the faith, Doug Pointer, was one of the people that actually signed this, and he was an old Landmark Baptist, an old missionary Baptist, and he was one of them. He actually started this church originally, the way it was started. And these principles, we need to remember them. Phil preached a sermon here a while back, move not the ancient landmarks. When he went, and this is a sermon that J.R. Graves preached in 1870-something. We need to remember what we believe in the Word of God. And I've done a lot of writing. I'm American Indian, as most of you know that. And I've done a lot of writing in the culture, about the culture of our people. And I'm writing another book at this time. And the only thing I'm writing right now is The Red Religion. One of the things that I'm writing about at this time. Originally, our people, of course, how did God populate the world? Where did it come from? All right, go back all the way back to in the Garden of Eden. How many mothers and fathers are there of the human race? Just one mother, one father. All right, and the promise of the Messiah would come through the woman. We saw that back in the Garden of Eden, the first promise of the Messiah. Well, we saw in the book of Genesis, not very long after the creation, and who was the promised seed of Adam and Eve? Who was the promised seed?
Cain.
Cain was the promised, he was the heir. He was going to carry on. His mother thought that he was Jehovah, God himself. When he was born, his name Cain means gotten. And she said, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. Even the Savior. God promised the Savior, so she thought Cain was the Savior. Well, what did Cain turn out to be? A murderer. He was the seed of Satan, wasn't he? I mean, he gave his life over to being a child of evil. And of course, Abel didn't have anything to do with it. Abel never was the promised son, was he? He was just another man. And of course, he killed Abel. But and then God gave him another son, and that son was called, don't you have a son named Zeth, brother? Or, don't you have a, do you have a son named Zeth?
Seth, I wanted to name him it, but nobody wanted to.
Oh, okay. But didn't you name one Zeth? Yeah, I wanted to. All right. That means substitute. Zeth means substitute.
S-E-T-H.
S-E-T-H. Zeth. All right. That means substitute. Well, through the line of Zeth, we come to the seventh man from Adam, and his name was Enoch, which means teacher. All right? If you look at the first meaning, the meaning of the names in Hebrew, you're going to see the whole promise of the Messiah and the whole world as it comes. Enoch, the Bible says in the book of Jude, and many of the New Testament writers, as far as I can tell, quote the book of Jude and quote Jude's writings, and he talked about the whole history of mankind in that. And how that man would go through all the earth, that the earth would be divided in the end. And he also preached coming judgment. He was a real preacher of righteousness. The Bible says that Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. And if you want to look at the book of Enoch, go to our website. We're taping this on video and on audio tape here. And it goes all over the world. And if you want to look at the book of Enoch, you can go to that website, discovertheword.com, and get you a free copy of that. Just have it printed out on your computer if you've got one. And listen to a lot of the classes that we've had here, too. And some of my teachers were on there, too.
I was looking for that last night, Jim. I couldn't find it.
Discovertheword.com?
I'll get back with
you. Okay. Discovertheword.com. It's on there. Anyway, over 10,000 people have checked into it and listened to the tapes and things at this time. Anyway, that's just an interjection. Enoch preached. And of course, who was the seventh from Adam on Cain's side?
Lamech.
What did he do?
Murder.
He was a murderer. And he was the first man to have more than one wife.
He's a Mormon.
The father of Mormonism. Right? Anyway, Lamech, his name means king or prince or glory. And, of course, he was the epitome of the line of Cain. All right? God did destroy the earth. Noah. What's the name Noah mean? Noah, peace and safety. Where was peace and safety?
In
the boat. In the ark. All right. That's his name, peace and safety. And he had a son before him. Or a father before him, that is. What was his name? Methuselah. Who was the oldest man in the Bible?
Methuselah.
What does Methuselah mean?
When he's dead,
he'll come to pass. Can you imagine that every time? Now, Enoch had been preaching the coming of the end of the world at that time. And then here the son was named, when he is dead, it shall come to pass. And they said, Methuselah's sick. Maybe this is going to be the end. Well, anyway, it went on for hundreds of years. How long did Noah preach? And how long did he build the ark? How many? 120 years. All right. Noah preached 120 years and built that ark, and only 8 people got in the ark. And one of them was on the outside of the ark that went to be with God. He was the one on the outside. Enoch. He was raptured up, taken out of the way. But the very year that Methuselah died, the flood came. Have you ever heard any of this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. All right. The very year he died, the flood came. Well, all the world was repopulated again by the sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Jacob. And you study the history of those. There's a set of books, 10 volumes, called The Doorway Papers by Arthur Custis. And it just absolutely covers the genes and genetic background of the world. And how it was made and goes back through these. The inventors were the sons of Ham. And Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Those three names mean something. Ham.
Dark race.
Dark. All right. Swarthy, dark. All right, that's the dark races. You will find that the dark races invented almost everything that's ever been invented in the world. A lot of people think about them as being dumb, but they are the inventors. They are the inventors. What does Japheth mean?
Spread out.
To spread out. They spread out. Not only did they spread out, but everything that the sons of Ham invented, they perfected. All right? They perfected and made it work better than it did before. And now how about Shem? We got Ham, Shem, and Japheth. How about Shem? Huh?
They're the preachers.
Huh?
They're the preachers.
Shem was a preacher, yeah. He was a preacher. But what does the name Shem mean?
Name.
Shem means name or monument. Through the line of Shem would the world know about God. All right. And then what happens? Here we look at a little map up here. I'm going to get some more of these made too. What happens? Here's the flood right here. All right. What happens after the flood that we have universal judgment upon all mankind? The flood was universal judgment, wasn't it? Okay. Now there was another universal judgment upon all mankind.
The world gathered together in one place.
Okay. God told man to spread out and go out and trust Him.
Tower of Babel.
Yeah, the Tower of Babel. All right. God told mankind, the command was, is spread out, trust in me, and I'll take care of you. And if you do what I tell you to do, you won't have diseases and everything. Where is crime, high crime, and where is a lot of disease? In big cities. All right. God knew that way back then. He said, don't do that. So what did Nimrod do? He built a city and said, God is not going to stop us. What did God curse to make man work harder? Keep him out of trouble. What? He cursed the ground. All right? It was harder for man to make a living than ever before. Man needs to be busy. You know, man needed to be busy in the Garden of Eden. Adam needed to be busy before he ever sinned. He had a job to do. Watch after your wife. Guard the garden. He flopped, didn't he? I mean, Eve was deceived, but he should have been watching after her. And he should have been guarding the garden. But he didn't do that. And because he didn't do it, his wife got in trouble, and then she got him in trouble. And then he blamed it on God, didn't he? That woman you gave me, she gave to me and I ate.
She did.
And then she said the devil made me do it. Cliff Wilson, you know. I mean, somebody got that off. But anyway, now here, getting back to what I was saying a while ago, when I wrote about American Indian culture. Every origin source of mankind all over the face of the earth say that there was a great flood at one time. And back here, and if you go back every time, mankind knew the promises of God. And mankind knew who God was. If you go all the way back to Nimrod, if you go all the way back to Cain, you'll see man worshiping God on their own merits. Or else saying that they are God. Or will become God. And that's the New Age thing that we have today. The same story. It didn't begin now. It began back with Cain. And it became even before Cain. Was there sin in the universe before Adam? Yeah. Satan, Lucifer. He rebelled against God. There was sin. And by the way, I'm going to go teach a class for Brother Art. There's a bad translation in King James Version, basically, that has followed through all versions of the Bible since then. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in beginnings, Barashit, Bara, Elohim, and then it says, Hashemayim Liharitz, it says, and created God the heavens and the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, they were perfect. There was no flaws in them. There was no flaw in that. It was not, God does not create chaos. And then Genesis 1 and 2, and here's where the real big problem is. And it says, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was under the face of the earth. That's what it says in King James. But what does it say in the original language? And the earth, she became formless and void. Not only the earth, but the whole universe. Something caused this formless and void and chaos. But who did it? According to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14.
Satan did.
God does not create chaos. Evolution believes that God created, the original creation was chaos, and that it evolved into what we have today. And that's where that idea came from the Episcopalian preachers and students of the Bible that put that Genesis 1 and 1 and 2 in the Bible. And it has lasted all the way to this very day and kept people in the fall. God does not create sin. He creates perfection. He didn't create a blob and then straighten it out. And again, we find in Genesis 1 and 26, when God created man, He did not create him from the dust of the ground, from something else. Man came right directly from God. He created him as He created the dust of the ground, from the same elements, but not from dirt. All right? There's a whole lot of difference from the original language there that you don't get in these other places. And it was formed by the ideas of the people that created our English Bibles today. Because they believed this. They believed in the chaos theory. Because that is the ancient theory in paganism. Of how gods, or the gods, formed out of nothing and masses of chaos, formed the worlds. This is the Greek theory and all of that. And it was brought into the Bible. But God tells us from the original languages. And by the way, the statement of faith of our church here, if they haven't changed it, it says, we believe the Bible to be unerringly inspired of God. And then it says, from the original languages. Every translation is a commentary on the Bible. It's not a translation, but a commentary on what somebody believes. But from the original languages, there is an inspired, God-breathed, perfect, plenary inspiration. Even the grammar and the words are inspired of God in those languages. Even the words. God did not create a bohu wa tohu, a chaos and confusion. He created perfection. God restored the earth and the cosmos after Satan had destroyed it. And that's what the first chapter of the book of Genesis said. Getting back here to Babylon again. From Babylon, Nimrod and his bunch of cronies and worshipers of him, God cursed. By the way, that tower was finished. It was completed. From the Hebrew, it was a complete work. God didn't stop them from doing it. After it was done, He cursed that place. All right? Not only did He curse it, what happened at that time? The languages, and this is where you get, and most people don't realize that the earth was divided at that time. Because they don't translate the rest of it. In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. What does the name Peleg mean? Our word Pharisee comes from it.
Division.
Division. Divided. All right? Peleg. What? The languages were confused. There are 2,796 different language groups in the world. God really did a good job of that. The root forms are 760. God confused the languages, and guess what's happened today? Man has unconfused the languages. You can go to the United Nations, you can hear everybody talking whatever language they are, and basically now, the universal language of the world is English. Almost every nation has to learn some English, except maybe Mexico. Up here, I don't know why, but almost every language in the world has to learn English in their schools, so they can deal with commerce. That's the end of time, see. One language again. From that point of time, and from that division, and the division of the continents that took place at that time, every man in the world knew about God and the judgment that took place right then. And remember what God told mankind to do. And how many of you ever looked at a globe and tried to push the world back together, all that piece? That's what they called the Gondwana at one time. It was one on the earth was all land on one side and all water on the other side. If you pull it apart, you'll see the continents.
They're behind you.
Yeah. Oh, well, here it is. You jump it together. See how it fits together? By the way, down here in Central America and South America, if you get over here into this part of the world over here, and North Africa is what? Basically. What do you have up there in North Africa? The pyramids. Do you realize that from this area there were other pyramid builders in America?
Mm-hmm. Mexico.
All right. And what pyramid building came what also? Who built the pyramids?
The descendants of
slavery.
Slavery.
You'll see that sin scattered throughout those areas. When you have a monarch which was looked upon by God. Then if you get up here in Central and North America up in here, you can find something that was so different. And I taught this over the years, especially to my people, trying to lead them back to God. They were just absolutely, the American Indian has been displaced and totally destroyed by this nation. And it was a terrible crime, a world crime, what took place on this continent. But most people don't know about it. We haven't been told about that in schools. The Civil War was over slavery. That's what they said. But they were selling American Indians as slaves on public auction as late as 1869. The war was over in 1865. There were American Indian slaves in California and Nevada and Arizona up until 1930 and 40. Did you know that? All right, isn't important? They were no people because they wanted to take this land over. They had to have a reason to do it. And so they called us heathens here. That we worshipped nature and all this kind of stuff. We were these New Age type people. And believe this, American Indians have got caught up in that now, today, in this New Age thing. And many of the leaders and things among them tell them that this is what they did. But if you go back to early America, by the way, there weren't hardly any weeds over here in this country. Did you know that? Did you know that there was no disease, basically, at all? That man were living to be 120 and 30 years old before the white world came into this on this continent? Why did that happen? Why?
No cities.
No cities.
The twins,
what? Huh?
They were tent dwellers.
They were nomadic. Most of them were nomadic. What did God tell man to do? Be a nomad. Depend on me every day for what you eat. Okay? And God was blessing these people because of that. And there wasn't any atheists among them either. They were pure. Every little tribe and village was a pure democracy. Man, weird in a whole world of in slavery, all right? And they worshipped one God. And among the Lakota people, the father was Wakan Tonka. The son was Tonka Shila. And the Holy Spirit was Kan Tonka Skanskan. Just exactly what the Bible says. And if you'll look up those words in those original languages, you're going to find out it means exactly what it meant in Hebrew. Astounding! And they were looking for the Messiah. Why were they looking for the Messiah?
They were told about the Messiah.
Back here. They were told about it.
Yeah, when their lands were together.
Huh?
When everything was put together, was together at one time.
Yeah. It all did that. And a lot of the things that they were listening and looking for this coming Messiah. Every time that they killed an animal and its blood was shed, they thanked God for that animal's blood and that animal's life. They didn't go conquer anything. It was a gift. How many of you ever have anything in your life that God didn't give you? How about being saved? About salvation. Are you all saved here? Pretty much. Yeah, I think so. I'm saved, you know. I was thinking the other day, I've been saved for 41 years, almost 42 years. That's a long time for some, I guess. For others, just nothing. But salvation. How do you get saved? How do you get saved?
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus Christ. Who does the plowing in your heart?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit prepares your heart for it. And you sorry and you repent of these sins. If you go back, now this is what confused and got the lost 10 tribes business going on in the world. The whole world was confused how these American Indians believed so much like the Hebrew laws were. Joseph Smith said, oh, well, they got the submarine over there, a bunch of them, and they got out there in the ocean in this submarine and went across and landed over here in America. And these were Jews. They got out there in the middle of the ocean and they were suffocating in there, and God told him to drill a hole in the bottom thereof and a hole in the top of that submarine thereof. And they'd get plenty of air. Well,
God wasn't a very good engineer.
They even had them an ark. And they came over here, and by the way, Indians were white at that time. And if you look back in most Indian history, you're going to find out the ones in the west were dark, the ones in the east were white. It's just the way it was. And if you look over here, it's the same thing it was over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Come.
Yeah, same thing. Well, they came over here and they treated one another as brothers and things, and they took care of others. They played war. They didn't kill people. I've got a coup. Cuts in. Whatever, you know, that's the bravest thing God could do. And then the ravagings and the corruption of Europe came over here. They were like children. The Bible tells us, Jesus said it out of his own mouth, unless you become like little children, what? You cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Little trusting children. Start putting some of these things together in your minds. Start putting some of these things together. You know what? There wouldn't ever been a United States government at all if Purple Turtle and some of these guys hadn't told those leaders that we had in America, said, why do you keep fooling around with people over across that big ditch? That big ocean over there. He could tell those people to jump in the creek over there and found your own democracy over here. And the preamble of the United States says, we the people. We the people. Or over Europe is we the prince. Read the King James Version, the thing in there, it talked about the prince of all the people. Over here, the Constitution says, we the people. That's an Indian term. That was right straight from the Iroquois Confederation of Faith. Almost verbatim. We the people. And they said, get rid of that bunch over there and start your union. We'll just tell them, we're going to just come over here and you mind your business over here, and we mind our business over here. And that's the way it was, and we're going to be a democracy, Brother Bill.
Yeah, when you said Federation of Iroquois, is that five civilized tribes you're talking about?
No, this was long before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was long before that. I'm from all them five civilized tribes. All of them. But when I dumped my people in Oklahoma, that's where they came from. But truth has filtered down through history. Sometimes it was ignored, sometimes it's been totally destroyed. What did the Catholic Church do during the Dark Ages?
Enslave
people in ignorance. They were enslaved. And what were they enslaved with? The Catholic Church had taken all of the pagan rituals from paganism and put it in their dogmas. Well, all of it came from Mary and the child. That was the Queen of Heaven. in the old culture. And the halos and all of that, this all right out of paganism. All the countries that they conquered, and as they made more and more of what they call the councils, even the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Nice, whatever you want to call it, in 325 A.D. And that, all of those councils went through, and they kept adding things, what they believed in. And of course, they married the world to the church.
The church lives.
And if you weren't a member of the church, you weren't a citizen. And of course, then baptism for salvation, baptism become church membership and all this stuff, all baptizing babies and making them citizens of the state. That's where all this came from. But the whole world, we have truth. Truth is in the parables. In the parables. It starts out as the sower went forth to sow. And according to the word of God, who's the sower? Who was the sower? God. God was the sower. He went out and sowed. And what did he sow in the world? The seed of the word of God, which is truth. All right? He sowed truth. Okay, what did the enemy do at nighttime? He went out at nighttime. Now, God sowed in the daytime. That's when most human beings are doing things in the light. All right, honest people, so-called. The enemy went out at nighttime and sowed tares. And these tares were lies. They came up in the field. And then the disciples said, let's go out there and pull all them tares up and chop them out. He said, leave them alone. You're going to mess around and hurt some of the wheat doing that. Just leave it be. I'll take care of it in the end. God sowed truth, and you're going to find out that the truth was totally surrounded by the lies of Satan. And you can find that in church history. You'll get a real education in church history if you really study church history. You're going to find out that God's people were always there. The truth was always there. Bits and pieces here and there. And even in the American Indian culture, there was some truth there. But it has been absolutely covered over what was there. And it is so beautiful if you just understand what was there. Just understand how God and the promises of God were given to those people because they did what He told them to do. That proves that God will honor His word even among these children as they were. Backward children, as many people looked upon them. All the way down through history, there has been absolute truth. It's a witness in the world. And, by the way, you can thank God today that you're in a church that preaches truth. And truth does matter. That's why we have Sunday school class. We've got about 150 Sunday school classes here. That's a lot of Sunday school classes. I was telling a student that I went to school with so many years ago. He said, how big's the church where you go? And I said, well, there's about 10,000 people that attend there. I said, there's over 7,000 members. And I said, we have 150 Sunday school classes. Somewhere around there. I don't even know how many anymore. Years ago it was 130, but they've got a lot more now. Mm-hmm. Preaching the truth. Preaching the truth. Preaching the Word of God is really important. We've covered a lot of history today. Now, turning with your little charts. In your little charts, we talked about the rules of biblical interpretation. Who's speaking? Who is he speaking to? And what's the subject, basically? We've got five rules down there. But in those three things, who, what, where, when, and why, when I teach in public school, teach English and reading, when we're studying English and reading, is who, what, where, when, and why. You have to understand that and answer the little questions at the end of the story. Now, if the Bible is truth, which it is, then we ought to be able to interpret it the same way you do history, the same way you do literature or anything else. Who, what, where, when, and why. Who's speaking?
who's he speaking to and what's the subject? And we went through a lot of verses in the Bible, didn't we? And we explained how to interpret this. Now we talk about the Old Testament. Right up there in column number 4, or maybe yours is a little bit different. But it says, what use have we for the Old Testament? History, prophecy, and types. We've studied a lot about that today, haven't we? History, prophecy, the Messiah is coming, and types. What is types? The word type came from the Greek word typos. How many of you have a typewriter? Hardly anybody. We've got one. The word typewriter means, it word typos. It means to strike. Now, in the old typewriters, these computers were so much different now, but in the old typewriter, it struck. And what struck was a little piece of metal that had carved out in it, or formed in it, a letter. And it would hit a piece of tape and that was had ink on it, and it would put that on paper. That's really what the word type means. Strike something and leave it in you. All right? Now, the Old Testament tells us a lot about things. Tells us about the tabernacle. Remember what the tabernacle was?
Facsimile of the real
thing. It was a facsimile of the real thing that's in heaven. But what was the tabernacle? Do you know anything about the tabernacle? Tabernacle was the tent. When Israel was called out of Egypt, and there's a long story behind all of that, God used the man Moses, and what does Moses mean?
To draw
Israel out of Egypt. All right? And when he got them out of there and up to Mount Sinai, he said, you build for me something that I'm going to show you. And basically what he did is he built a tent. And inside that tent was furniture, and it was two different separated little sections in it. The first place is called the Holy Place, and the second one, the Holy of Holies. And outside of this was a screen of white linen stretched around on posts. It was like a fence. And in front of it here was an opening, but you didn't look straight in. I don't know whether you can even see that down there or not, but see that? All right. It was an opening. This was open in here, but you had to walk in. How many of you have gone into a store where they had a windbreak thing on it, where you went in and that was kind of like this? You couldn't look directly in here. You weren't supposed to look directly in. Okay, a man just couldn't look in here. You get killed. Because in there is the holiness of God. Okay? First thing you walk in there and see, Brother Ken, what was it?
The altar.
That's where sacrifices were made. Sacrifices were made in this altar. Before Noah, no animals were ever supposed to be eaten at all. Did you know that? All the way from Adam to Noah, no animals were supposed to be eaten, my man, and animals didn't eat each other. Okay? Really weird. They all ate vegetables and stuff. They were all grass eaters at that time. Well, what were animals for originally? Why did God create animals?
Company.
A lot of people like dogs and cats, don't they? They're going back to Adam, their Adamic nature. All right? Because that was Adam's playmates, was these animals. All right? He communed with them, and that's what they were there for, beauty, and they were there for company. All right? Fellowship. How many of you have a pet fish? Anybody here have a pet fish? Yeah, lady. All right, you got a goldfish. My daughter's got a couple of them. And my wife calls our farm the friendly farm. We don't kill anything. We got chickens, we got a goat and a pig that's going to die of old age, and horses and ducks and rabbits and all this kind of stuff. We don't eat any of them. We fellowship with them. My pig, she follows me around like a dog.
I've got a duck that followed me around. Brother Ken says, you heard about the story about a man and his dog. Well, there's a man and his duck. The duck follows me around like a dog. Reaching back to this period of time, these animals were not to be killed except for one purpose. Animals are called innocent, aren't they? Innocent beings. Because they don't really have a sin nature like we do, do they? You don't see a mother hen leaving her chickens like humans do. Some people say humans act like animals. Oh, they don't. They act like Adam. They're Adamic. They're not like animals. God put in animals a nature that follows rules. Okay?
You know, Jim, it's an interesting thing that the Lord makes me more like my dog.
That's right.
A dog doesn't discriminate. He loves unconditionally.
Yeah.
And he follows so faithfully. And on you could go.
Yeah.
Where that dog has more Christ-like attributes than the man.
That's right.
Yeah.
You ought to say, let me act like an animal. Because animals follow God. When God called all the grasshoppers into Egypt, someone say, I don't want to go. How about the lice? Did they come? How about the flies? How about the frogs? They just followed, did exactly what God. And they left when He told them to leave, didn't they?
Yeah.
All right. Get some of these things, some weird stuff to talk about in Sunday school class, isn't it? Because you ought to die for your sins, but something innocent had to die for the guilty. And that typified what? The one innocent one, the Messiah, the King of Israel, that would die for all of the guilty. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the created universe. Didn't say man did it. Think about that for just a minute. Paul said the very creation itself cries for the redemption of God. Man is a cruel being, isn't he? Has he treated this earth, what they call Mother Earth? How has man created the earth, treated the earth? This is God's possession, by the way. How has man created the earth, God's possession? Like a garbage pit. We see that. We see it so much, don't we? In life. Just like it's something to be used and tore up to make money with. Anything but that money. You know, they had a movie out a few years ago called Wall Street. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
You look at that movie, you're going to find out something. What happened in that movie has happened in Wall Street today. That's the problem. People using people, people lying to people. It's all right to lie. That's society today. You don't find dogs lying to each other, do you? They respect each other. Man ought to become like an animal. As people instead of people, they act like a bunch of animals. No, they don't. They act like humans. Depraved humans. Depraved. What does the word depraved mean? How about the word reprobate? What does that mean? What does reprobate mean? One who has denied the truth, the faith. That's what a reprobate is. That's what man is. Man is reprobate. Reprobate. Going a little bit further. God gave animals for one reason. God killed the first animal, did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And took the skins off of it and clothed Adam and Eve with it. And from that period of time, God showed man what he was supposed to do. Some innocent died for the guilty. Now, you can keep the skins of these animals and use them for clothing. But the meat belongs to me. You burn that up as a sacrifice. All right? That's what God told Adam. And, of course, Cain was the first rejecter, the first reprobate, wasn't it? Cain was the first reprobate. What did he do? According to the works of his hands, according to what he did with his hands, what did he offer on the altar? What did Cain offer on the altar? Some of the fruit of his, some of the produce from his field.
What do you hear?
Produce. Now, take this. Look what I did with the works of my hands. I overcame the curse. Think about that for just a minute. What was the curse? The man would live by the sweat of his nostrils, literally. Man would live by the sweat of his nostrils and work by the sweat of his nostrils. And because of the curse, he would have to work harder than he ever did before to produce enough food to eat. Huh? Now, what did Cain do? God, I overcame your curse. I got enough left over here to offer to you. That's what you call pride, isn't it? Pride. What?
Our desire to be in control. We were talking earlier about the New Age movement and different types of cult religions and that sort of thing. It's us, our desire to be in control, just like it was his desire. Well, I can control this. I can. Mm-hmm. I'll farm this. I'll do this, and I'll control it and give it to you. And I won't listen to you and do what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the New Age worshippers.
Mm-hmm.
It's our desire to be in control of our own salvation, our own self,
yeah.
Rather than surrendering.
And reincarnate and get better every time.
Right.
Till you finally don't care nothing about anything, and then you can be in nirvana. Mm-hmm. You know, a real heavenly bliss. Then you go to sleep forever, and then come back and help other people.
Right.
They are messiahs. There's only one Messiah. All right, only one Messiah. What happened to Cain when he did this? Now, he was a promise. He was the heir, wasn't he? Here's the heir of God. The heir of the human race. Through this man was supposed to come the Messiah. And Eve thought he was the Messiah. What happened?
Rejection of the firstborn.
God rejected him. And the rejection of the firstborn, too. That's very important. Put that one down in your little mental note someplace. The rejection of the firstborn. Your first birth, Brother Bill, when you were born into this earth, I know that you're here. But that doesn't matter. All that first birth does is condemn you to death. You want to die. What's the second birth give you? Life. All right. Death, the first, life. Rejection of the firstborn, Cain. Esau and Jacob. Esau was the eldest. He was rejected of God. God knew what his heart would be like. So on and so forth. All the way down the line. Remember this as you study the Word of God. Okay? Now Cain. How did God curse Cain? Alright? Remember the curse now. Just think about it for a while. This really long this one down. Cain killed his brother because his brother told him to do good and offer blood sacrifice. Cain, you're the promised son. Cain, you're the heir. Why don't you just listen to God and go God's way? All I am is just another guy. I'll never be the promised son. And God looking down on me and he says, oh, yeah, Cain's or Abel's sacrifice is good and God would consume it and accept it. I'm sure that God took them to the gate of the Garden of Eden where they couldn't go anymore into that near the Tree of Life. And built an altar out there. God built the first altar. And killed the first sacrifice and showed them what to do. And they were supposed to follow. And I'm sure that Adam told their son, his sons, and his wife's sons, what to do and how God had shown him. Cain went the other way, didn't he? Bought the fruit. Can a blade of grass ever die for you? And give you eternal life. It might keep you alive for a while. Is going to give you eternal life? This is something for the moment. That is what Cain wanted to give God. God's going to want something eternal, that life. You know that every lie the spirit and the breath in every animal God has breathed into their forefathers. If you look back to the Garden of Eden, when God breathed into Adam, the breathings, plural, of lives, you were there. You were in that garden. Your life was created in Adam. You were there. The life you breathe and the spirit you breathe today came from all of this way. This way. Those spirits, every time an animal is killed, that spirit goes back to God. Because that's life. And all life comes from God. Alright? That spirit goes back to God. That life, and it's renewed every time. Cain offered wheat and vegetables or whatever he put on that altar. God would not consume that sacrifice. Abel says, Cain, do it. Just please follow God. And Cain got so mad that he murdered Abel and spilled his blood. It says in the original Hebrew in the PLCM that he chopped him up in little pieces. Just cut and slashed and cut and slashed. Murder! In the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, you find that Stephen was preaching to Israel. And Stephen was stoned by Israel, but that wasn't enough, was it? What else did it say that did to him? They kept on biting him with their teeth and chewing his flesh. They were so mad they wanted to chew him up. Why, we've got a criminal boxer in the world that got so mad when he was getting whipped one time, he bit his opponent's ear off. That's what you call Adamic, hellish nature.
They're going to hate the two witnesses that are going to prophesy for 3.5 years so bad that they're going to send gifts one to another.
Oh, they're going to kill the two witnesses during the tribulation period. They're going to have a big party, Christmas celebration. God's going to raise them up. Well, every one of those animals in the Old Testament typified the Messiah to come. That was a type, the typos of the Messiah to come. And when God cursed Cain, what did he do to that rat? How did he curse Cain? What was Cain so proud of that he had overcome the curse of God? So what did God say to Cain then?
He wondered.
He'd be a wonder. Did he wonder? No. He rebelled. And what else did he do? He'd been a farmer. He built a city. And that farming, what did God say that he was going to do to Cain's farming from now on? It's going to be twice as difficult for you to grow anything. I'm going to curse the ground because of you. Because your brother's blood was shed on this ground, so I'm going to curse the ground because of you. And it will no longer give any produce for you. He cursed the mode of his religion because it was wrong. Alright? Every one of these animal types, all of this here in the altar, the altar sacrifice, then next was the labor. What these priests were to, first of all, the first time that they came in, they were to be dipped, baptized. The word baptizo, that's a Greek word, it means to immerse underwater. Now, it's not sprinkling, because the Greek word for sprinkling is rontizo. And the Greek word for pouring is nipko. They were dipped. Later on, every time they came in to serve, they washed their hands and their face and their feet. But the first time they had to be dipped. It's a type of what we do. You know, we are immersed in the grace of God when we're born again. We follow the Lord in baptism, immersion, to typify that we died in the world and were raised anew to newness of life. But we still need to ask for forgiveness of sins as we commit those sins, and that's like washing our hands, face, and feet. As they would go back in here again. They walked into the holy place here. The holy place was a type of heaven. Okay, it was a type of heaven. And all the drapes are, every one of these things, all the colors and all the metals in the Bible are a type of something. What is the metal gold? What is the type of? deity. That's God. Deity, gold. How about silver?
Redemption.
Okay, how about bronze and brass?
Judgment.
And if you look at all those things, you'll see this in here. How about colors? White. Righteousness. Black.
Sin.
Brown. Earthy. Red. Blue. Royalty. And purple. Royalty. All these are colors. They mean something. All right? In the Bible, they're all types of something. In here, there was a table of showbread. There was an altar of incense and a candle. A big candle. It was a lamp. It had seven. Seven is, by the way, in numbers in the Bible. What's seven a number of?
Perfection.
How many days does it take a chicken's egg to hatch?
7 times 7, 49.
How many? 3 times 7, 21. A duck egg is 28 days, and a goose egg is 28 days. That's 4 times 7. How many women, when they have children, it is made up of weeks, isn't it? Seven is perfection. Then all, how about one? We think of one, we think of unity. When we think about three, what we think of? Triune God. And how about the number six?
Man.
Six, six, six. The Antichrist, man in his absolute saturation of the enemy. Man, man, man. The perfection of rebellion is the Antichrist. 666, man, man, man. Triune, that man is triunely going to be a devil. I guess we're time to leave. Thank you for your attention today.
Jim, let me say one thing. You know, we were talking about the curse on earth.
Uh-huh.
And you know, God says he's going to commit the curse in one of the days. I have here an article I've had for a long time where they took $200 million to build this biosphere food that had this controlled ecosystem, utopian ecosystem. Failed miserably, it says. Uncontrollable weed, vines, cockroaches, ants, and teddy birds thrive. But, I mean, $200 million to do something that God circumvent the curse that God put on the earth.
Well, I'm talking about pollution. We talk about pollution. Turn to the book of Revelation and look at the pollution that's going to take place on this earth. And I'll tell you something else today. We are breathing, living in a polluted atmosphere that is so terrible. This San Joaquin Valley is one of the worst places in the world to breathe air. People are sick, sick, sick with all kinds of respiratory diseases here. But that's nothing compared to the spiritual pollution that we have in the world by the God of this air, the God of this age, which is Satan. I mean, if you could just see what is there, it would make you shudder of the filth that is inspiring all these false religions and all of this and everything from the beginning of man down to this day. Thank you, girls, for coming here today. Hope to see you next week. The class starts at 9:30. There should be a lot more. We've got two or three single men that didn't show up today. And some more single girls that are coming. And good to have you here. I hope you come back when you can. And Brother Ken, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Father, for this day and for bringing us here to learn your word and learn about your progress through the ages, Lord. I just thank you so much for your plan. Thank you that you've given us the confidence in your plan.